This episode of Markets Daily is sponsored by Kava and BCB Group.
It's Wednesday, May 11th, 2022, and this is Markets Daily from CoinDesk. I'm Adam B. Levine, here again with Adrian Bluss for your daily news roundup. On today's show, we're talking Bitcoin, inflation, market volatility, the latest headlines, and more. And just a reminder that CoinDesk is a news source and does not provide investment advice. Bitcoin traded down 6% over the last 24 hours, dropping to $29,200 per token, but has since climbed back above the psychologically important 30K level. The world's largest cryptocurrency by market capitalization had lost as much as 45% of its value year to date, and current prices aren't much better. Bitcoin's latest decline came as crypto traders agonized and gawked at what appears to be a full-blown meltdown in the dollar-pegged algorithmic stablecoin UST. Traders of the original cryptocurrency were also monitoring the latest economic data, with the U.S. Labor Department reporting on Wednesday that the overall inflation rate over the past 12 months slowed to 8.3% from 8.5%. That's a lower number overall, but came in significantly higher than the 8.1% average estimate of economists. We'll talk about this more in specifics in today's headlines. Elsewhere, troubled stablecoin blockchain Luna's drop was among the steepest for a major cryptocurrency in recent times. Prices fell 85% in the past 24 hours, and 32% in a single hour alone this morning, as traders priced in contagion risk to the Luna tokens, while Terra USD, also known as UST, the platform's stablecoin pegged to US dollars, lost its peg earlier this week. The UST stablecoin fell to under 35 cents per token this morning, when it should be trading at the stable price of a dollar, as trader sentiment around the coin dropped. This was despite the Luna Foundation Guard, better known as the LFG, a nonprofit formed earlier this year to maintain a reserve backing for Luna, liquidating its Bitcoin holdings in an effort to try and save the troubled stablecoin's peg. Data shows that some 58% of traders were placing bets on higher Luna prices despite yesterday's drop. That move accounted for over $63 million in liquidations, a higher-than-usual figure and one of the largest in the history of Luna futures. CoinDesk's Shurya Mallah reported earlier Wednesday that Anchor, the decentralized finance or DeFi platform that provides yields on UST deposits, saw its total value locked, or TVL, fall by $11 billion in just the past 2 days. Some stakeholders are now getting involved and beginning to take action against the depegging. The Anchor Protocol community has submitted a proposal to restore the stablecoin, trading at around 57 cents this morning, to its $1 peg. Dubbed Emergency Measures for Restoring Terra Peg, the proposal aims to lower minimum interest rates to 3.5% and maximum deposit rates to 5.5%. The current yield of 18% would be temporarily reduced with a targeted interest rate of 4%, according to the proposal. Quote, a depegged UST cannot sustain 18% APY any longer, according to the Post, which refers to the interest rate as an annual percentage yield. Reducing the interest rate would prevent the Anchor reserve from depleting and contribute to, quote, stopping the depeg death spiral, end quote. Another proposed emergency measure is to increase virtual liquidity for Terra to Luna swaps by a factor of 1,000, which advocates hope will avoid a prolonged stablecoin depegging. Quote, this illustrates the current flaw with algorithmic stablecoins, and I expect it to have a durable effect on others in the space, noted the head of trading at Converio AG in a Telegram chat with CoinDesk. Continuing, this will trigger a risk repricing of all stablecoins. The winner out of this will be clearly USDC. According to the trading chief, USDC is the safest stablecoin because it is fully backed and audited. Quote, I expect its market share to get a boost with such events, especially if tight U.S. regulation comes by year end, end quote. For another perspective, the co-founder of Stack Fund said that in the wake of this deteriorating altcoin environment, Bitcoin has been fairly resilient. Quote, despite mounting pressure sector-wide, BTC and ETH have managed to hold key levels of support, also noting that Bitcoin has historically bounced off this level several times over the last 12 months. Quote, it's a good level to buy based on charts if you're a long-term accumulator, said the co-founder. Continuing, we can see quite a few market participants betting on this, end quote. Today's crypto coverage comes courtesy of CoinDesk's markets analysts, Lila Ledesma, Oliver Knight, and Shurya Mallah. Bitcoin is currently trading at $30,848. That's down about 3% in the last 24 hours, while Ether is trading at $2,312. That's down almost 5% in the same time period, according to the CoinDesk Price Index. In traditional markets, stock futures gave up gains on Wednesday after fresh data showed inflation eased slightly in April, but not as much as mainstream economists had predicted. Futures for the S&P 500 slipped by 0.6%, dropping from a 1% gain seen earlier this morning when markets were betting those economists were right. The index had traded up on Tuesday following 3 days of losses. Futures for the Dow Jones Industrial Average dropped by 0.4% Wednesday, and futures for the tech-heavy NASDAQ 100 declined by 1.1%. Ahead of the opening bell in New York, shares of Coinbase Global slid by 15% after the cryptocurrency exchange said its users declined from the previous quarter. Overseas, markets were broadly higher. The STOXX Europe 600 index gained 0.7%, while in London and Germany, the FTSE 100 and DAX each gained 0.2%. Continuing to the east, in Asia, Hong Kong's Hang Seng index gained 1%, and the Shanghai Composite Index added 0.8%. In Japan, the Nikkei 225 traded up about 0.2%. Today's traditional markets coverage draws from the Wall Street Journal, the FT, and Bloomberg. Stay tuned. After the break, we'll be back with a few quick headlines we're tracking today with links to the full articles in the show notes for this episode as always. Then after the headlines, we'll take a look at the increasingly erratic behavior of the market and what the Fed has to do with it. We'll be right back.
Kava gives you the ability to earn more by connecting the world's largest cryptocurrencies, ecosystems, and financial applications on DeFi's most trusted, scalable, and secure earning platform. Kava is an institutional-grade cross-chain engine built to scale on the largest decentralized proof-of-stake network. With loan APYs as low as 0% and reward APYs as high as 200%, Kava is the safest place for you to grow your digital portfolio. Mint stablecoins, lend, borrow, earn, and swap safely across the world's biggest crypto assets with Kava. To learn more, visit kava.io/marketsdaily. BCB Group is the leading global provider of business accounts and trading services for the digital asset economy. With a dedicated focus on institutional payment services, BCB Group provides business banking, cryptocurrency, and foreign exchange market liquidity for crypto-engaged financial institutions. BCB business accounts offer multi-currency transaction banking solutions. With Blink Instant Settlements Network, you can move money instantly 24/7 with no transaction fees. Visit bcbgroup.com/coindesk to find out more about how BCB is empowering the global financial revolution.
Turning to big picture news, after March's surge in consumer prices, analyst consensus is that CPI, that's the Consumer Price Index, one of the official metrics for tracking inflation by the government, has peaked, and April was expected to show a big slowing from the 8.5% year-over-year to 8.1% year-over-year growth. However, official numbers came in hotter than expected, with the CPI showing price growth of 8.3% year-over-year. Increases in the indexes for shelter, food, airline fares, and new vehicles were the largest contributors to the seasonally adjusted all-items index. Digging into the details, the food-at-home index rose 10.8% over the last 12 months. That's the largest 12-month increase since the period ending November of 1980. The index for meats, poultry, fish, and eggs increased by 14.3% over the last year. That's the largest 12-month increase since the period ending May of 1979, so we're now officially into the 70s here. But wait, it gets worse. The index for airline fares continued to rise sharply, increasing 18.6% in April. That's the largest one-month increase since the inception of the series back in 1963. Digging just a bit deeper, the cost of putting a roof over your head is also soaring. April shelter inflation rose by 5.14% year-over-year, up from 5% in March, and the highest since March of 1991. April rent inflation rose by 4.82%, up from about 4.5% in March, making it the highest rent inflation since February of 1991. But there is some good news. A few major component indexes declined in April. The apparel index fell by 0.8% over the month, ending a string of 6 consecutive increases. The index for communication fell by 0.4% in April, its third consecutive monthly decline. The index for used cars and trucks also fell by 0.4% over the month. That's its third straight decline after a long series of increases. This analysis comes courtesy of ZeroHedge, and there's more linked in the show notes if you'd like to dig in deeper. In other news, if the Federal Reserve sells any of its holdings of mortgage-backed securities, it may have to do so at a loss, the president of the Cleveland Federal Reserve Bank said on Tuesday. The potentially difficult problem for the central bank, at least politically, since it sends its annual profits to the U.S. Treasury. Quote, "A potential drawback in sales is that, depending on the interest rate path, they could result in realized losses," the regional central bank president said in comments to an Atlanta Fed conference, continuing, "Such losses would not entail any operational change for the Fed in setting monetary policy. However, they would pose communication challenges that would need to be appropriately addressed," end quote. The Fed has faced persistent questions from some members of Congress on the risks it was taking in amassing its giant stockpile of bonds and mortgage securities. The assets were purchased to stabilize key financial markets during the onset of the pandemic in 2020. This most recent batch of assets on their balance sheet were purchased to stabilize key financial markets during the onset of the pandemic in 2020, but part of the Fed's current fight against inflation involves lowering its presence in those same markets. Reuters reports on the latest exchange in this troubling dynamic. And just a note for myself, the Fed has long claimed that it's essentially acting as a shock absorber for markets, including housing, by using new money to buy up securities tied to mortgages. But with housing now increasingly out of reach to all but the wealthiest buyers, and mortgage interest rates going up thanks to an increasingly aggressive U.S. central bank, this seems like an appropriate moment to let some air out of the balloon. The problem? By putting their finger on the scale in the first place, they've incidentally created winners and losers while encouraging housing prices to increasingly detach themselves from a true rate environment reality. If they even ease up, much less reverse, that means they're shifting the assumptions that individuals use to make their home buying decision. This is one of many areas where the only way not to cause harm is to basically do nothing at all as the central bank and let an undistorted market reality dictate consumer choices. Lacking that sort of hands-off approach, there are no good options. It's a story we'll be watching. Meanwhile, Americans itching to travel this summer after a couple of years of not face a new disruption to plans, the rising cost of travel. Apart from rising inflation, gas prices are up about 50% from just 1 year ago. Hotel costs jumped nearly 30%, and airline fares rose by 24%, while vehicle rental costs jumped nearly 14%. And while inflation hasn't stopped people from spending more so far this year, some Americans are rethinking summer vacation plans. And that could dent the economic outlook this summer, since spending on services such as entertainment, travel, and dining makes up more than 40% of the nation's gross domestic product. A Bankrate survey taken in late March found that nearly 70% of more than 2,600 respondents said that they're changing their summer plans due to inflation. The Wall Street Journal reports. Turning to international news, BitPatagonia, one of the largest registered crypto mining companies in Argentina, was recently hit with a 400% increase in its electricity bill, the result of a policy change affecting miners there, the startup's industrial director told CoinDesk. BitPatagonia's mine is in Tierra del Fuego on Argentina's southernmost tip, where the cold climate supports up to 22 crypto mining companies, local sources told CoinDesk. But the government isn't happy about the consumption of energy by mining companies. So in January, it imposed a 170% increase in the wholesale electricity rate of the region, targeting digital asset miners specifically. It's worth noting that this move comes after the International Monetary Fund approved a $45 billion loan facility for Argentina that stipulated the country would discourage the use of cryptocurrencies. This appears to be the latest piece of fallout, closely tailing an order from the Argentinian Central Bank that amounted to a de facto ban on trading of crypto assets. CoinDesk's Andreas Engler has more on this one. Turning to industry news, Michael Saylor, the founder and CEO of business intelligence software firm MicroStrategy, took to Twitter on Tuesday morning in an attempt to clarify the company's obligations with respect to its Bitcoin-backed loans. Quote, MicroStrategy has a $205 million term loan and needs to maintain $410 million as collateral, said Saylor, linking to his company's first quarter investor presentation. Saylor noted that of MicroStrategy's 129,218 Bitcoin stash, 115,109 of it, or more than $3 billion at current prices, remains unencumbered. So Bitcoin would need to fall all the way to $3,562 per token before the company would run out of enough crypto to pledge for the loan. But even at that point, MicroStrategy could post some other collateral, said Saylor. His implication is that there theoretically is almost no price low enough for which his firm would need to become a forced seller of Bitcoin. CoinDesk's Jamie Crowley has more details on that one. And finally, we turn to Washington, where U.S. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen focused on the ongoing distress of stablecoin UST during her testimony before a U.S. Senate panel on Tuesday, just hours after the purportedly dollar-pegged token plummeted to a new low of 65 cents and was halted on at least one trading platform. As the Senate Banking Committee hosted a hearing on risks to the stability to the U.S. financial system, Yellen told senators that UST, quote, experienced a run and had declined in value. Continuing, quote, I think that simply illustrates that this is a rapidly growing product and that there are risks to financial stability and we need a framework that's appropriate, she said. She later stated that legislation to address crypto regulation would be appropriate this year. Senator Pat Toomey, the panel's ranking Republican who's been pushing legislation to establish stablecoin oversight, quickly pointed out that UST is an algorithmic stablecoin, quote, that means by definition it's not backed by cash or securities as the, if you can call them, more conventional stablecoins. He said to Yellen, continuing, so I think that's an important distinction, end quote. CoinDesk's Jesse Hamilton reports on that one. And in lighter news, here's Adrian Blust.
Thank you, Adam. What's up, everybody? Instagram's non-fungible token, or NFT pilot, is the first play in a creator monetization strategy that's still taking shape. Shortly after unveiling its digital collectibles product on Monday, the Meta, or Facebook-owned social media platform, signaled its interest in turning NFTs into a revenue stream for the creators, catering to the platform's billion-plus user base. Figuring out how to leverage that base is to be determined, though. At launch, Instagram's NFT pilot will merely allow a handful of creators to share their digital art on the platform. No sales, trading, or fees involved. One such creator, a street artist who goes by Masna.eth on social media, generates income by painting customers' larger-than-life PFP, which is short for profile picture, NFTs, on the side of buildings, which he then shares on Instagram. Masna.eth hesitated to throw himself into Instagram's visions of an NFT-based creator economy, partly because it's too early to tell what form the initiative will take. Quote, "I gotta read thoroughly," he said in a Twitter message. Regardless, he said he's not yet convinced. Quote, "I don't see why I would pursue creator monetization on Instagram," said Masna.eth, who already sells the rights to feature street commissions as NFTs. Continuing, "It doesn't really make sense to me," end quote. CoinDesk's Danny Nelson reports. And in other news, yet finding another real-world use case for NFTs, do you all remember when we talked about the step-in, move-to-earn application on the Solana blockchain that allows users to get cryptocurrency rewards for walking or jogging? Well, it's gaining more traction. The fitness app has grown to over 300,000 daily active users in the space of a few months. The project is burning up the track so much in real life that there's a waiting list to join the Telegram group, which has over 200,000 members already. Users have to be sent an invite to join the app, and the step-in team has limited the amount of activation codes available. Users can get codes from the Telegram groups, Discord chats, and other step-in online communities, but each day the company issues 3,000 joining codes. Only thing is, users must purchase a virtual sneaker NFT to earn crypto rewards, and they start at around $800. An NFT sneaker is a virtual sneaker that users purchase on the step-in marketplace in order to start earning crypto by either walking, jogging, or running. The app tracks users' movements similar to how a Fitbit does, but it also connects with GPS to track how far you've gone. The price of the virtual sneaker varies depending on earning levels. The better the quality, the more benefits offered. And this is an interesting example from a user himself. Mohammed Noor, a freelance virtual assistant based in Bangladesh, said he'd heard about Step-In on YouTube and was attracted to the app because he saw it as a good side hustle that could also improve his health. Quote, "Jogging is essential to me now, and I earn money to do it," Noor, 35, said in an interview with CoinDesk. He said he earns around $75 a day currently from jogging twice a day for 30 minutes each time. It makes me want to get outside and start jogging. CoinDesk's Lila Ledesma reports.
Thanks very much for that, Adrian. Today's featured story is an opinion and news analysis piece from George Kaloudis, an analyst at CoinDesk Research. Today's piece is entitled, "The Fed Raised Rates and Markets Freaked Out." 8 times a year, the Federal Open Market Committee, or FOMC, meets. The FOMC is part of the Federal Reserve System, better known as the Central Bank or the Fed in the U.S., and is made up of 12 presidents from various reserve banks. These are the regional banks that make up the central bank nominally. The FOMC is headed up by Powell. When the Federal Open Market Committee meets, it reviews the economic conditions, determines the appropriate stance of monetary policy, and assesses the risk of its long-run goals of price stability and sustainable economic growth. After the meeting, the chairman has a press conference to discuss the committee's view on the economy and announce changes to monetary policy, usually by way of changes in interest rates. On Wednesday of last week, just such a meeting occurred, and Powell announced a 50 basis point, which in human language means half a percentage point, increase in the federal funds rate at around 2:30 p.m. Eastern Time. I specifically mention that time because it's the main item that I want to zoom in on today. At 2:30 p.m. Eastern, markets of all sorts reacted. Bitcoin, the NASDAQ 100, the S&P 500, and gold all went up. At the same time, the 10-year yield and the U.S. dollar went down. Less than 24 hours later, all of these moves reversed as if nothing had happened, and then they kept reversing, with Bitcoin getting wrecked on Thursday, among others. It was almost as if Powell had issued a statement saying, psych, and reneged on everything that he had said during the press conference. Before we go further, what did Powell tell us and what should have happened? Powell's comments shouldn't have been positive for risky assets like stocks, full stop. Rates going up, inflation catching economists by surprise, and a contraction in the country's gross domestic product in the first quarter don't exactly scream, wow, the economy is doing great, more risk please. Powell and the Fed also seem to have replaced the inflation is transitory with, we will have a soft landing. That basically means the Fed thinks, okay, inflation is high, but we'll get this under control without going full Volcker. for those of you who aren't economics wonks, refers to how former Fed Chairman Paul Volcker cut inflation from 15% to 3% between 1980 and 1983 by jacking interest rates all the way up to 20%, which would have been great if there wasn't also a recession at the time. Okay, but markets did eventually reverse and do what was expected of them. Does that matter? I think it does, and here's why. First, it gives further credence to a point that I've made multiple times in the past about narrative driving market moves. I admittedly stole that idea from Benjamin Graham, the spiritual father to both value investing and Warren Buffett. Graham uses Mr. Market as an allegory in his book, The Intelligent Investor, to describe the irrationality of the stock market and groupthink. Markets, especially in the short term, are narrative driven because of Mr. Market. On Wednesday, Mr. Market thought that a 50 basis point interest rate hike wasn't bad and ignored that inflation was high and GDP contracted. The very next day, Mr. Market said, "Oh wait, that inflation was kind of high, I'm scared of inflation now." Cue the market reversal. Second, and I admit this might be alarmist of me, but whatever, this highlights the dangers of a highly connected, information-rich world where high-frequency trading and quantitative firms scrape the internet for clues on how to trade everything. And these firms can react to news faster than anyone, and sometimes they can react incorrectly. And now, even Mr. Market can react quickly. One of the FOMC's stated goals is price stability. And even though that price stability is about goods and services, volatility in markets is also destabilizing. It probably goes without saying, but I'll say it anyway. Instability is usually not good. Lastly, and this is really my main point, the market is kind of, absurd? I don't know. At the very least, it's too reactionary to ever take it seriously at face value. The market keeps crying wolf. Anytime the market reacts to news, we should all collectively take a breath and really think about what the news means. And with that, I'd urge you, zoom out and think longer. Hey folks, just a quick note, you can join me at CoinDesk's Consensus 2022, the festival for the decentralized world this June 9th through 12th in Austin, Texas. Consensus is the largest and longest running event showcasing and celebrating all sides of the blockchain and crypto ecosystems, as well as Web3 and the metaverse. And it's designed for crypto newbies, investors, entrepreneurs, developers, and creators. If you want to save some money, you can use code MarketsDaily15, that's MarketsDaily15 with no spaces, to get 15% off your pass. To get your pass today, visit coindesk.com/consensus2022. Thanks for listening.